Good morning. Welcome to First Church. My name is Justin. I'm one of the pastors here. If you would take your bulletins, if everyone take your bulletins, and while you're doing that, I just want to say a personal thank you to everyone who attended our baby shower yesterday, everyone who sent a gift. Thank you so much. I think the count is around 78 to 80, so we just really packed it out, and so thank you everyone who helped with that, who got up early, who had been planning for what seems like a year ago to get ready for this thing. So you know who you are. Thank you very much for that. And it feels like we have enough diapers to put on her till she's 16, which should, I think, keep the boys away at least for a while. It's like they won't get fresh with her if she's wearing Huggies. Probably not. Anyways, but we have a lot of announcements. If you would just open the front flap there. A lot of different things to look at. After today's service is Lunch Bunch. That's going to be downstairs. A lunch you and your family can eat pretty cheap down there. There's also a newcomers class after the service, and that's at 1 o'clock. Eric is going to head that up. Also, we have a Soup and Scripture. That is going to be a small group that starts March 8th, and it's going to meet every Tuesday night, and it's going to run up till Easter. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have a meal with that, and then we're going to all meet back in here, sort of have a talk or a small presentation, and then we're going to break out into groups and discuss a few things. So if you're interested in doing that, what we want you to do is write that on your connection card. Fill that connection card out, write your name on that, and when the offering plate comes around later, if you drop that in the offering plate, we would appreciate that.
Hey, Justin.
Yes.
I had a question posed to me, and I wonder if you guys know the answer. We have brown bag Bible study.
Okay.
And we have soup and scripture.
Uh-huh.
Which is the best food?
I don't. Brown baggers, what do you say? Bring your coffee and brown bags. So, I mean, food, there needs to be food built around it, I think, is the key to success on that one.
Yep.
Also, at the very bottom, if you would take a look at the silent beef auction, there is some beef that's being auctioned off, and that all of the proceeds to that are going towards the bus. So there's actually, I believe the sign-up sheet for that is going to be in the back. Is that right? Okay, it's silent because it's silent beef auction. Okay, no one say anything. So did you have something you want to say?
No, I just agreed with you.
Okay, good. Amen. All right, but if you would do that, and again, fill out that connection card, put that in the offering plate, and that would be all that we ask of you there. Also, if you're interested in volunteering in the nursery, there's a sign-up sheet outside the nursery just along this hallway. So do that, and again, we'd like to welcome you, and thank you for coming.
Let's stand now as we sing some praises to our Savior this morning, and the words will be on the screens for the next couple of songs. Just remain standing until the praise hymns are over.
All right, let's get those hands going. Give you praise for all the amazing gifts that you give us, the breath that's in our lungs, a heart that beats inside of us, a spirit that thrives within us, God. We thank you so much for the love of family and friends. We thank you, God, for this church. We thank you for all the saints that has gone before us that help us be who we are today. We give you praise in advance for what we will be one day, Lord, and how we can move your church forward. We thank you, God, for all those things. We thank you for how you keep things from us sometimes, either because we're not ready for it, or it may harm us, and we give you praise for those times, Lord, in Jesus' name. But today, Lord, although we know you are here, we can feel your presence already. We want to be deliberate in asking for your powerful presence today. We ask, God, that you bring us healing, that you bring us courage, you bring us focus, whatever it is that we need in our lives, God. We ask that you overwhelm us, that you make us uncomfortable so that we will expand your kingdom in this community and beyond. Be with us today. Anoint us fully, God. Help us. Make us one with you and one with each other. In Jesus' holy name.
I see you dancing, you're dancing. When I think of you, I hear you singing to me. When I think of you, I hear you praying, you're praying. When I think of you, I hear you calling for me. Yahweh, there is no one like you, Lord Yahweh. Hallelujah, we sing Yahweh.
Seated, they need to come forward for a children's message this morning, and Julie has a message for you.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I
sing
do.
With me. Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
That
was awesome. I could hear you guys singing this time. I like that. I would like to share a verse out of the Bible with you guys to get us started this morning. Okay, this is out of the book of Galatians, 5th chapter, and it's the 22nd verse. I'm a little slow this morning. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wow, that's a lot of fruit, isn't it? Why do you think it says fruit? Anybody have any thoughts on that? I think it'd be like a gift from the Spirit, right? He gives us good things. But why do you think the word fruit is used? Anybody have any thoughts? What do we have to do to get fruit? Hello? Anybody? You think maybe we ought to start out with planting a seed? Would that work? Show of hands, blink, something. All right, okay. I happen to have, people will argue the point that this is a fruit, but I got tomato seeds. Okay, what do we need to plant these tomato seeds? Water and sunshine. Okay, should I just sprinkle them here on the carpet? Well, what do I need? Dirt. Okay, should I just put the dirt down on the carpet? No? In my backyard. Okay, what if I want to start the seeds inside? What should I put the dirt in? Yes. Uh-huh. That's right. Well, what do we put them inside of to hold the dirt together? Yes. In water? They might just float away if we put them in water. We got to put something dirt. The dirt goes into something. Okay. Let's try a flower pot since we're inside. Would that work? I wish we had a flower pot. Do we have a flower pot anywhere? Did anyone bring one this morning? All right. Thank you, Daniel. Okay, you guys see? Flower pot. I can always count on the youth, I tell you. Okay, I'm going to set it up here because I've got to open the seeds, right? It says tomatoes. You see the pictures of the tomatoes on there? Okay. Hold on. Can you guys see these seeds? They're pretty small, aren't they? You see? Yeah. Smashed potatoes with. Okay. Aren't they tiny? Isn't that something? Okay, this is kind of like magic from God. Let's put them here in the pot. Okay, we got some in there. Let me move this down where you guys can see. Let's push them under the dirt a little bit. Only put your finger in there if your mom won't mind if your finger gets dirty. Okay, now what else do we need for this plant? For these? Very good. Did any of you bring water? You think you have a little bit left? Anybody out here could help us? What do you want to bet it's Daniel? Why, thank you. Okay, what does the water do? Does anybody know? Okay, what does it do to the seeds, do you think?
Yes.
Okay, that's right. But it makes the seeds softer, doesn't it, so they can start to grow. Okay, everybody, we're going to count to three, all right? One, two, three. Okay, let's pick some tomatoes.
It has to take a lot of
time? I guess we need time. We'll have to wait for them. Wow, I wasn't expecting that. I was going to have tomatoes for lunch. That's the hard part, isn't it, is the waiting. Okay. We put these tomatoes, once they start to sprout, we'll put them outside in the garden, right, so they can get sunlight, and we'll stake them so that the tomatoes are up off the ground. and we'll pull weeds, right? Maybe you have to kill some bugs. That's a lot of work, isn't it? Yeah, that white stuff on the leaves, that's right. But it's worth the work. If you've ever had a nice homegrown tomato, aren't they yummy? You think they're better than the ones at the store? Okay, pick something else you like to grow. Not everybody likes tomatoes. But the point is, if you want really, really good ones, you want to put in the work and grow them yourself, right? Okay, so we're going to go back here to this fruit of the Spirit. Is anybody getting any ideas why it's called fruit of the Spirit? Okay. Yes, dear. Why do you think it's called fruit? Okay. Grapes. Grapes are fruit. Okay. I think, what? Yes, dear. I want to hear what you think. Huh? Healthy? Yes, fruit is very healthy. I think maybe why it says fruit in that verse, though, is God wants us to take the little seeds that he gave us of goodness and kindness and love and all the other ones and put in that work like we would in a garden and help them to grow. Does that make sense to anybody? Yeah? Okay. So remember when you're thinking, boy, I wish I was more patient. You've already got that patient seed inside of you when you ask Jesus in your heart. He brings it with him. So you just say, God, help me to be more patient. And then you're not trying to do it all by yourself. And the more you practice being patient and loving and having self-control and thinking about other people, the stronger that grows, just like a plant. And the stronger you get, the happier you are. Could we say a little prayer here? Lord, thank you for your fruits of the Spirit. Help us to understand that we already have everything we need to be good Christian people and to follow you. And help us to remember to ask you for our help when we have trouble growing these things on our own. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, we need to get cups. They're collecting missions, offering in their cups. We're going to be singing from the screen up here, and we're going to be singing Love Lifted Me. That's one of my favorites. Just about done with offering here. So I'll move on here to joys and concerns. And I've got, first of all, I'm going to say while they're doing that, Remember to get your connection card off the back of your bulletin and fill that out. And at offering time, that needs to be placed in the offering as offering baskets as they're passed around today. So you might want to fill that out ahead of time. Hopefully it won't get in the way of service. All right. I also have...
I was going to say, whenever you're done, I have a couple of joys I want to share.
Okay, good. I have a little note here to read. It says, we would like to thank the church community for the outpouring of love and sympathy that was shown our family at the passing of Henrietta Kahn. The food was great and the cards were wonderful. Thanks so much. Sincerely, Rex Kahn, Larry and Holly Kahn, and Susan Lewis. And we will continue to keep them in our prayers in the coming days also.
You know, you all are so amazing, and this church has become so active in this community, and I give God praise for that. But just so you, first, my first joy is so you understand how busy this building is, and it's all glory to God. But like just yesterday, we had Stacy and Justin Schauer, right? And about 80 people were here, and they no longer cleaned up. And the Boy Scouts came in for Blue and Gold Banquet, and I'm not sure how many were here with Cub Scouts and everything. And then today's lunch bunch. I mean, if you're not around this church very much, this is the way it is almost every day. And so just give God praise that this church has a great presence in this community of expanding God's kingdom and being here for people when they have need. The second joy I want to lift up is we have what a Blue and Gold Banquet is. It's a way to honor Cub Scouts, and it's also the high point in that night is when Cub Scouts cross over into being Boy Scouts. And in this church, I think there's 10 new Boy Scouts this year, but there's 3 from this church that made that crossing over. One is Zach Riggs, one is Riley Kreisel, and one is David Dirks. And so, yes, make sure if you... You all know how busy and how busy Kevin keeps the Boy Scouts and the great example that those leaders are. And I just give God praise for Boy Scouts that the way they raise up leaders in this community. And so, anyway, I just want to lift up those two joys today.
Thanks. And congratulations, boys. Okay, we have on the backs of our bulletin some prayer concerns and issues that you might want to read through. We've got all sorts of health issues and people going through all kinds of trouble and people in the homes, nursing homes and assisted living, and even our servicemen especially, we should remember in prayer. Keep this bulletin handy and you'll remember to pray for them this week. And at this time, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the privilege to be here and to worship you this morning. We love you so much, and we praise you for your strength. We praise you for your wisdom and your faithfulness, and that you extend all those to us through your Holy Spirit. We praise you for your forgiveness and your loving kindness. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us, our homes and our families. We're really thankful for this church family and its support and for meeting. We thank you, Lord, for meeting all of our daily needs. We thank you for listening and answering when we pray, and we're grateful to be able to call you Father. We love you and adore you. We have concerns this morning, Lord, for our families and our friends, and we'd ask that you look after the sick and the hurting in our church community that we just read in our bulletins about, and we lift them up and ask you to help and heal and comfort each one. We had asked that you'd be with the servicemen and women overseas who are sacrificing so much for this country. Give them your strength and protection. You know each one that we're concerned for this morning. I know that you know their needs and you're able to help and provide for them just what they need. Please help us now, Lord, to focus on your word and your message for this morning, and help us learn how we can be pleasing to you and serve you better. All this we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 23. Acts 16, 23. And while you're turning there, I'm going to try something. Does anyone have a bowl of SpaghettiOs? No. It's worth a shot.
He was batting 100 until then, wasn't he?
I know, yeah. It's like SpaghettiOs? I don't have that. But Acts chapter 16. If you want to read about the history of the church and the church, how the church started, read the book of Acts. Lots of good stuff. Once you have Acts 16, if you would close that on your finger and stand. Lift your Bibles and say with me the Bible pledge.
This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Acts 16, starting in verse 23, after they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in, and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. If you would grab your sermon notes for today, yes, believe it or not, I actually created some. I didn't realize how much people like this until I didn't do it a few times. And so take a pen or a pencil out and your sermon notes. On the back of that, by the way, is our study guide for this week that Cliff prepared. We like to call it Cliff Notes, lovingly. But anyway, take that home with your bulletin that Idella talked about and keep it by your prayer chair so that you can remember people in your prayers and also have a devotion to work with that. Well, next week, Justin and I are going to begin a teaching series on 1 Corinthians, one of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote. And there are many exciting things taking place in Corinth and the fledgling church there. And quite honestly, if Justin and I talked about everything taking place in Corinth, we would have to rate the service an R for the next few weeks, at least the weeks that we talked about that stuff. So believe me, there was some exciting things going on in Corinth that Paul and the church had to deal with. So we're really excited to bring this series to you, but today I thought it would be really cool if before we began that series, we talked about the person who wrote 1 Corinthians and maybe the world that he lived in, the Apostle Paul. Now, those of you who know this man, he changed his name from Saul, a Jewish rabbi, to Paul, a Christian evangelist, or in that time, an evangelist of the way is what they called themselves at that time. So, who was or who is this man? I thought a good place to start today would be to answer the questions around what he looked like. What he looked like. Anybody have a picture of Paul out there? Okay. We really have no reliable evidence about Paul's physical appearance, except his own quotation in 2 Corinthians 10:10. If you want to write this down, 2 Corinthians 10:10. And this was from, he was quoting his opponents. They say his letters are weighty and strong, his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is of no account. Well, that's something to say, isn't it, Andrew? Tell you what. But just so you can have a picture in your mind of a second century of the Apostle Paul, a second century collection of legends called Acts of Paul says that he was small in stature, bald-headed. Bow-legged, oh, I can't do that, a vigorous physique with meeting eyebrows. What do we call that today? Unibrow, yeah. A slightly hooked nose, and of course, full of grace. I mean, you have to say something good after saying that about a man, don't you? So does that help you picture what he might have looked like in that day and age? Even though it may not sound like much, 2 Corinthians 11:24 through 29 tell us a list of physical hardships that he endured. So if you want to, keep your Bibles out today, by the way. If you don't have your Bible, get a pew Bible. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. I'm going to be jumping around in the Corinthians and the Acts books here. So 2 Corinthians 11, I'll begin at 24. So we're in the book of Acts, then it's the book of Romans, then 1 Corinthians, and then 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 is where we'll begin. Paul is telling about all the hardships that he's had. And he says, 5 times I have received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Now, Jesus received 39 lashes. The idea was, because of the glass and sharp ends that are on the end of the whip and the way it rips flesh out when they whip, 40 whips of that, I've lost the name of what that kind of whip is. Say it again. Cat of nine tails. 40 whips of that would kill a human being. And so that's why the 40 is an important number there. 40 minus 1 whips from the Jews. He says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked. For a night and a day I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, hungry and thirsty, often without food. This sounds just like a teacher. Just kidding. Hungry and thirsty, without food, cold and naked, and besides other things, I am under daily pressure because of my anxiety for all the churches. So, you know, he is saying the hardships that he's been through, the severe floggings that he seriously has taken. His letters make it evident, however, that he was sensitive, he was proud, quick-tempered, had a tendency to boast, which if you listen about his hardships, he's almost boasting about his hardships in that way, all right? Had a tendency to boast, gloried in the victory that faith in Christ promises, and was capable of sarcasm and irony. According to Acts, Paul says that he was born at Tarsus in Cilicia. He claims to belong to the tribe of Benjamin, and his birth name was the Jewish name Saul. The book of Acts records his name change in chapter 13, verse 9. He was a Jew by race, and he had been a Jew in his religion. Before giving his life to Christ, it is believed that he was a student of law, supporting himself with the trade of tent maker or leather worker. So now that we have a picture in our minds of the person of Paul, I hope you have in your mind's eye a picture of what he might have looked like. I want to focus on a couple of traits that Paul had that I believe made him the powerhouse of the first century church, and the reason why Paul makes up 75% of the New Testament. You see, Paul had focus. Paul also had courage. He was able to hone his attention and not be distracted by anything. And once he was focused, he had courage to carry through. He had resilience and stamina and determination. Paul had guts to get the job done. And I want to look at some incidents here that we have in Scripture and see what you think. Turn back to Acts chapter 7, verse 54. It's where we'll begin. The book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 54. It's on page 130 in my Bible. I don't know if that helps or not. Acts 7, verse 54. Now, Stephen had just preached this sermon to the Jewish leaders. All right? And verse 54, when they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears. I can just see him now. La, 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 la. Right? Yeah. But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Now, those of you that don't know what a stoning is, someone would be usually tied to a post or something, and people pick up stones, literally, and not pebbles, I'm talking stones, and throw it at the person and hit them until they die. So just think about that for a moment. So they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him, and the witnesses laid their coats, now listen, at the feet of a young man named who? While they were stoning Stephen, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died, and Saul approved of their killing him. That day a severe persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria. That's pretty severe, isn't it? Remember, Paul, who is Saul, at this point was a devout Jew. It was against Hebrew law to murder. And yet Saul was so enraged and felt so strongly about the blasphemous nature of this new faith, at that point called the Way, that he would drag men and women from their homes, have them sent to prison, and have some tortured and murdered. He was so, had such strong feelings about this concept of being blasphemous toward the Jewish God that murder was acceptable. This guy had guts, and he hadn't even met Jesus yet, right? Now, I don't want us to lose focus here this morning, but it's evident, even at this point in the life of the church, that God was using what Saul meant to hurt the church to spread his kingdom. Do you know why I believe that? Tell me something. Do you ever get comfortable with the way things are? Do you know most of us base our decisions on fear and uncomfort? We want to keep things going just the way they are until we get uncomfortable. And when that lack of comfort, right, is greater than or equal to another discomfort that we have that's maybe bad for us, we won't change our ways. Have you ever thought about that? Think about most of your decisions. Many of our decisions are based on fear. Fear of pain, fear of losing someone, fear of, I don't know, right? So whenever we get comfortable, and now we've seen this in the church over and over and over again, right? When we get comfortable with the way things are, we tend to turn inward, don't we? Oh, I'm happy. I don't want to change anything because that affects my comfort, right? You know, I pray many times, I say, God, bother us. Remember? You've heard me say that before. I say, dear God, bother us so we will actually do something, right? Because so many times, I'm not saying us. Of course, we don't do this. That's a little Paul's sarcasm there. But anyway, people in general do this. Think about it. We're not alone in this. Those who have been involved in the church family before, did you ever notice that just like what is happening inside the walls, and you get so comfortable there that you forget that, hey, wait a minute, we're called to go out. We're not called to take care of ourselves. We're called to go out, right? We're called to expand God's kingdom in this community and around the world. We're called to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what had happened to the baby church in Jerusalem. The last thing Jesus... Well, you tell me. What is the last thing Jesus said before he ascended into heaven? What did he say? Anybody want to take a shot at it? Go, therefore. Where? Into all the world. Baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? Go into all the world. But what happened to the apostles? Oh, does that mean we go to the Gentiles? Oh, boy. Let me think about this for a minute. We got to set up a committee and decide what we should do. Have we heard this before? Have a carry-in dinner. Hey, we might as well eat while we're meeting. Meet and greet and eat. Well, finally, Paul made them uncomfortable, and 8:1 says that all except the apostles were scattered throughout the countryside. As is always the case, God took something meant for evil and he turned it to good. God took something meant for evil. Saul meant evil on this young fledgling church called The Way. Saul meant evil on them. Saul wanted to get rid of them, wipe them off the face of the earth, because he felt they were blaspheming the God that he knows and loves. And yet God took that and made it good. God says, you know what? You're comfortable in Jerusalem, but you know what? Saul's going to use you, and Saul's going to make you spread out. Am I saying he made Saul do what Saul did? No, but I'm saying he took what Saul did and made it good. Everybody understand that? All right. I don't want you to go home saying, oh, our pastor said that God means harm on us. I don't believe that at all. But I believe God takes what is harmful to us and makes it something good. So, here we are. We have Saul. And we notice that Saul's focus changed. I hope you're keeping up with me on those sermon notes. Saul's focus changed on the Damascus Road. If we look at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Just listen real quickly. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the Way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul asked, who are you, Lord? The reply came, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with Saul stood speechless because they heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were opened, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Can you imagine? I mean, just think about this for a minute. Put yourself in Saul's shoes. He's walking along, and all of a sudden this bright light happens, right? And he hears voices. Have we heard this before? And the advantage with Saul is the guys with him, although they saw nothing, they also heard. Did you catch that? So they also heard this voice. So Saul isn't just going crazy all by himself, right? And so he heard this voice, and then he goes blind. he goes blind. Now, how many of you, because I have, that's why my hand's already up, how many of you at some point in your life have said, "Dear God, give me an experience like Saul had on that Damascus road. Please, God, please," right? No one ever has? Boy, I'm more weird than I thought. No one in your life, even whenever you were 16 years old and you were getting challenged in so many ways, you're saying, "Dear God, just let me know that you are real." No one has ever been on their knees and done that. "Dear God, give me what," you know, that's what I mean by that Damascus Road experience. You know, "Let me know that you're real. It would answer so many questions, God. I wouldn't have to have faith anymore because I know you're real." Well, I can't tell you how many times I prayed that prayer whenever I was younger. Well, Paul tells the story again in Acts 22 and 26, but you have to understand, Paul didn't write the book of Acts. The writer of Luke wrote the book of Acts. So let's see what Paul said about his experience, and there are several passages that touch on it, but if I just quickly turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about it real quick here. Verse 3. The Apostle Paul says, "For I handed on to you as of first importance that I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." You see, he doesn't go into the detail, but he says, "Man, I am the last one that saw the risen Christ." You see, Paul was not only the latest, but also the last witness of the risen Christ. There are other churches that say, "Hey, you know what? Christ appeared to me on like these shores." The Bible tells us that is not the case. Paul, who we call the Apostle Paul, is the last. There are no more. He is the last witness of the risen Christ. If we were to continue at verse 19, we see Saul didn't waste any time. He was convinced, and he went right to the people he was to arrest and possibly kill and proclaim that Jesus was the Son of God. Again, he had focus and courage. Now, we can really gloss over this, but I want to stop real quick here. I want you to think about it for just a moment. Let's say that there was this person in Benton County killing all the Christians. Now, we may be amused by this, but we may not be too far off from it either. So think about it just for a moment. There is this person in Benton County killing anyone who claimed to be a Christian. Are you there? All of a sudden, this man or woman walks through the door and says, "I'm a changed person. I have seen Jesus on the Damascus Road." What would our response be? I can think of about four men who would probably jump up when they first saw him. Right? What would we do? Have you thought about that? That's what Saul did after his road to Damascus situation. He walked into these house churches. "I'm a changed man. I have seen the risen Christ. He is the Son of God." Oh yeah, he just probably wants us to admit it and then he's going to kill us. Right? Think of the courage he had to have to do that. Not only that, think how humbling that would be. Question, have any of you ever stamped your fist and said, "This is the way it is," and a couple days later you find out that that isn't the way it is, and then you have to stand before that person and apologize and say, "You know what? I was wrong." Now, in light of what Saul did to the church, that isn't that big a deal, is it? Being wrong about something. But Saul, was so wrong that he killed people. And then he stood before the people he was killing and he said, "I was wrong." Think about that. He had focus. He had courage. And you know, I have to wonder, do we have focus and courage? Have we ever been so pumped up about Jesus that we begin to proclaim Jesus everywhere we go? Have we? Oh, Eric, that was a long time ago. I've heard it before. Oh, Eric, God didn't call me to do that. Eric, I don't talk very well. You know, boy, I think the Bible talks about that. I think his name was Moses. Or, Eric, I know my place. I'm not good at talking to people about Jesus or the church. I can say amen to that. Before I went into ministry, I'd never prayed in public. I never even prayed in front of my family. Right? That's why we worship the God, the creator of all that is. Amen. God can do anything. You know, you've heard me say this before, and some of you may really be surprised about this, but I am extremely shy. I really am. I know some of you are just about ready to bust out laughing. But Jamie's the one, man. Jamie's my wife, by the way, for those of you who don't know. Hey, Eric, let's go do this. Eric, let's go do that. Boy, I'm just fine to stay at home, right? If I'm not in a leadership position, whenever I go to a party, I just kind of sit at the table in the corner with my back to the wall and watch people. Now, so why am I telling you that? Because I have to fight this battle that I'm about to tell you. And I know there are many of you out there that fight this battle as well. You've heard me say it before, that many times we let our shyness or humbleness be a mask for our laziness. Think about that. We let our shyness or our humbleness be a mask for our laziness. You see, being lazy is being slothful. And slothful is one of the seven deadly sins. Amen? So let us have the focus and the courage to proclaim Jesus to those around us in our life example and in our words. So tell me, am I saying get the horn? What are those things called that you... Bullhorn, megahorn, whatever, and say, I got Jesus, I'm saved, and you need to be too. Is that what I'm talking about? Hey, baby, if that's your gift, go for it. I know I probably wouldn't follow a person like that. Honestly. Some do. I wouldn't. But so here's the deal. Whenever, like myself, whenever I'm last football season, I was a coach, one of the coaches, and I got so frustrated with one of the students that something slipped out of my mouth that shouldn't have. And I swear the entire team stopped. Right? Yeah, I'm human. And a lot of boys really connected with me after that. But you know what? The thought went through my head. I'm not supposed to do that. How many of us on the golf course wrap our golf club around a tree, have a few choice words? The people we're golfing with know that you go to church. Huh, he doesn't use any different language than I do. I don't need church. You see how you spread God's kingdom or don't spread God's kingdom? Spread it with your life example and in your words. And there's also another way. You know what? Dad, I'm going to pick on you. This is my mom and dad, if you don't know. Who want me to call them every day.
Amen.
I knew that'd get an amen out of her. No, you know what? Someone walks up to Dad and says, you know what? What's about this Jesus thing? I don't get it. You talk about Jesus a lot, and I don't understand who that is. Well, Dad could just say, oh, you know what? I go to church on Sunday and hang out with the folks there. How's the fishing? Or dad could say, you know what? Jesus is a man who lived a long time ago. I claim him as God's son. And that man has made a big difference in my life. Let me just tell you some of the blessings that Jesus has brought into my life, because I believe in him and I believe he is the Son of God. You see what I mean? That, when you're willing to go into those conversations with people, willing to make mistakes, and that is totally okay, but willing to go into those conversations with people and be there when people are ready and ripe to talk about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is how you use your words to bring people to Jesus Christ. Well, many times, moving along quickly, many times we get into the frame of mind that the world that Paul and other biblical folks lived in was different from our world. Now, technologically, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? But from a spiritual and cultural point of view, it's seriously flawed to think their culture was much different than ours. When we look at Acts 17, we find that the Athenians had all of these mythological gods, and they had all these statues set up to them. And Paul walked around until he found one that had no name. And God says, the God that I worship, right here, no name. The God of all creation. You see, he respected them. They had these, you know, their gods were reason, and their gods were pleasure, and their gods were money. That's totally different than us today, isn't it? Their gods were ego, right? We don't have issues with that today. Self-help. We don't do that today, do we? You see, Paul spoke to them with respect and reasoned with them. That is, he lifted up his discussion, his argument, into their level of reasoning. He reasoned with them about their Creator and risen Christ. Paul had focus and courage. Finally, if we go back to our scripture for today, Acts 16, we find that Paul and Silas are in this prison. Now, some of you have seen me show this before. This is Philippi. Okay, can you see that? Obviously, it's the ruins of Philippi. And by the way, it is Philippi. It's Thessaloniki. That is the way you pronounce those. It's not Philippi. All right, Philippi. There's the town square, and there are businesses all along here, right? Community bathrooms over here somewhere, right? Hey, you got a lot of people together. That's important. Here's more businesses over here. This is the basilica that came later. They believe that some of Paul's remains are in there somewhere. Up here on this hill is where, like, if people were attacking the city, they had walls built. And the people of the city would run up when they heard the attack coming, get inside these walls, and the walls kind of siphoned people down to one or two at a time so they could pick them off as they crawled up the hill, the people that were trying to attack the city. So they essentially left the city to come up to be safe. But anyway, right over here, just as a point of interest, you know the woman who made purple clothing that Paul baptized? There's a creek right over here that she was baptized in. All right? Now, this is the prison that they understand Paul spent time in. Obviously, it's fallen down through the years and they've cleaned it out. But see, Paul and Silas were chained to something like this. Shackled. And the Bible tells us that they... What were Paul and Silas doing, do you remember? Praying and singing, right? And the other prisoners were listening. And then what happened? Yeah, the earth shook, right? And this earthquake, something that we describe as an earthquake, happened, and it was so bad that the shackles fell loose on all the prisoners, and the doors fell open to the prison. And when the prison guard came to his senses, he realized that the doors were open, and he thought probably all the prisoners had escaped, and he knew what would happen to him if that were the case. And so he decided to take his own life instead of those who were above him. Whoops. Those who are above him, and he, and Paul said, wait a minute, don't do it, don't harm yourself, we're here. And that very day, We don't want to miss this, by the way, from a United Methodist standpoint. He and his entire family were baptized. Think about that for a moment. He and his entire family were baptized that day. All right? And they became believers. After Paul and Silas had been whipped and broken down and beaten, they were singing praises to God. And God went to work. Amen? Have you ever been in a situation where you're beaten down? Have you ever been in a situation where you feel your spirit is crushed and you have these chains hanging on you? You know, it's interesting. A few years ago in the airport, there's this woman walking through the airport. And she had luggage in this hand and luggage in this hand and then a suitcase under each arm. Can you picture this for me? And then she had, like, I think it was a hanging bag over her shoulder. So she was, you know, I mean, she was kind of doing one of these. Have anybody seen someone do this before, right? And I don't know if it was her husband or boyfriend, fiance, whatever, came up to her. And I mean, she was like, she couldn't even get to him to give him a kiss of hello because of all her luggage, right? And I thought at that time, man, that is just like us. We carry around so much baggage that it ruins our relationships. Have you ever noticed that? The baggage that we carry around, and it just tears our relationships apart because it keeps distance between us. And that is what God is about. You see, you don't have to carry that luggage anymore. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to take care of that luggage for us. Amen? And Jesus died and rose again so that you can have a relationship with God. Sometimes God has to get all the stuff out of our way before we can see our way home. Sometime God has to let us travel down the road of our choosing, right? My dad used to put it like this, Eric, I'm going to give you some rope. Just make sure you don't hang yourself. Whenever I was a teenager, you understand what I mean, guys? Right? I'm not lying, am I? Okay, right? God lets us walk down the road that we choose. And sooner or later, we're going to finally realize that it's the wrong road. And when God finally gets our attention and the stuff gets out of the way, we realize that our way home is right there in front of us. So what do Paul and Silas do? Well, I've already said they were praying, they were singing, and they had focus and courage even in that terrible time in their life. One of Paul's famous sayings is that when I am weak, God is strong. When I am weak, God is strong. When you are weak, God is. When you are weak, God is. When we feel beaten down and dejected, don't get depressed. Praise God even louder. Amen? You see, the devil wants us to hear that we are defeated. The devil wants us to hear that we are down for the count. The devil wants us to hear that we are lost and that there is nowhere to go. But God says, when you are weak, I am. Yes, God is our Redeemer. God is our Savior. Give God all the honor and the glory and the praise, and the earth will shake and the earth will tremble. And guess what, folks? Your shackles will fall off. Amen? Think about that. They will fall off. You trust and believe that that will happen. God has the power, and God has used that power to overcome sin and death. When we are weak, God is. Therefore, we can't boast in our victories, can we? Think about Gideon fighting those folks over there, those evil people. There was hundreds of thousands of warriors over there, and he got all these people gathered together, and God says, oh, wait a minute, you have too many. Remember that? And Gideon goes, but God, oh my goodness, I've seen these people. Gideon in his little wine press, right? The great warrior. Oh no, too many people. So anybody who has fear, go home. He loses a third of his troops. Right? And on and on and on. And finally he goes down to around 300 people. Gideon has to fight hundreds of thousands of people. Why did God do that to Gideon? So he would be clear on who brought the victory. It wasn't Gideon and his army. It was God. And that's the way our lives are. God enables us to have the victory. Amen. God is the victor. So who is this man named Paul? Paul was a man who had focus and courage in his life, a man focused on God's will, who had guts and determination and resilience with God's power, and he did something about it. Amen? So today, I'm calling you to have focus and courage in your life. Do you think you can do that? Can you have focus and courage in your life? Can you try to have focus and courage in your life? Even those of you who have ADD. Have focus and courage in your life. I am calling you today to focus on God's will for your life and have the guts, have the determination and resilience with God's power to, let's say it together, to do something about it. Can we do that, God's people? Amen. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for this day. Thank you for these amazing people. Thank you, God, for your spirit at work in this community, in this particular community of believers. Thank you for your power, God. Thank you for reminding us that it's you that brings the victory. And when we are weak, when we feel that we just cannot take another step, God, that's when you shine through. Help us, God, to spread your kingdom in this community and around the world. Help us do something. Something. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand with me and turn to our song of invitation? I know whom I have believed. Number 714. Let's do stanzas 1, 2, and 4.
Grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto
it now.
But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair. I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Amen. Please be seated.
Let's continue in our worship of God this morning by the giving of our tithes and our offerings. And this is the time to put our connection card in the offering, too.
Thank you.